There we go. I turned it off. Can y'all hear me? Good deal. All right. How's everybody doing? Good. Y'all glad we have an air-conditioned church to come to? I know I am. About ready for fall. We're going to be in Esther this morning. I'm going to be chapters 2, 3, and 4. We're going to kind of bounce around in Esther a little bit. Brad, I appreciate that, brother. That was good. My wife gets on to me all the time. That's usually who I hear it from. Hey, James, you talk down to yourself too much. You don't need to do that. So, because you do feel like there's a lot of things you don't feel like you're. In life, we compare ourselves to other people. I've been listening to Sid preach since I was, 16, 17 years old. And he can just pick up a microphone, and I could say, Sid, just let's jump over here to John. And be like, he could talk for 3 hours. And just get started, and you know, and I can't do that. I mean, I've got notes. My notes literally are color-coded so that I know that stop talking about that James move to the next thing so that I'll keep going because I'll get lost and not know what I'm talking about. And when I begin to compare myself to people that God has using in a different way or maybe they go about it a different way, and I thought, well, that's better than I'm just subpar. And God's like, no, I created you individually to be you the way I created you, and it's true for everybody. And it's true for all of us. And so, incidentally, y'all got me again this morning. We're going to be all right, though. We're going to be good. Tyler told me. I don't know how to take it. He told me this morning. Is he gone? Did he leave? Where'd he go? Changing a diaper. Hashtag dad life. He told me this morning. He said, hey, man, that was good last week. If it's not as good this week, I'm going to be disappointed. So I was like, all right. I don't know if that was, like, helpful. I don't know what that was. I appreciate it. Pressure's on. It's not on me. Listen, I've decided a little while ago, if y'all don't come in and I've opened up the Word and I've read some Scripture, okay, if that's all I do and y'all don't get something out of it, that's on you. Hey, it's totally on you. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. I read Scripture. It says, you know, the Word doesn't go out void. If it goes out void, it sounds like it's the hearer, not the speaker. Let's jump to Esther chapter 2. It's kind of funny because a lot of times when I've been speaking, honestly, this year, most of the time, it's kind of coming out of where me and Cammie are at and listening to the Word. We're trying to listen through it in a year, you know. And so it's kind of where you're at, you know. So a lot of times I'm just jumping where I'm at. Well, right now we're past Esther and we're actually in Job. So I thought last night, you know, I was looking at it last night. Again, sorry, I was looking at this last night. And, all right, I'm going to do something in Job. It's challenging. God's really going to reveal something to me. I'm going to do something in Job. And I kind of had an idea of what maybe I should talk about in Job. I don't know if y'all have read Job, but it blows my mind theologically. I don't understand Job. Job is a book in the Bible that just cracks a lot of stuff that I think I've got structured and understand about God. It just does. And so I didn't feel like prepared to speak about that this morning. And I think God was just, hey, you know, listen to me. Let's back up one book. We're going to back up into the book of Esther. And I want to talk about listening to God in good times. It's easy. And we just sang about he's the God, you know, he's with me in the valley. And this is so true. God is with us in that pit. God is with us on those difficult days. It is so true. And difficulties narrow our focus. You know, when you're going through a difficult season or something is difficult in life, something is really challenging and you're really just getting in your face, really painful, difficult, hard, whatever, it really narrows your focus into that thing. And a lot of times, and this is not always true, but I think a lot of us, and I'm speaking for myself, a lot of us as Christians, that's when I really will narrow down my focus on God as well. I'm like, all right, God, I need you in this situation right now. This is a tough deal. This is a tough situation. I really need you right now. And I'll be really pressed in and really focused in on God at that time. Rightfully so. This is not a wrong thing to do. God wants us to do that. He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to bring Him our issues and bring Him our stuff. So, you know, when you're in that pit with a lion, it's hard to see anything else. you know, it's hard to see anything else. So it to me, it comes down to, all right, it's me, the problem, and God. I can't fix the problem. God, you're the only one that can fix the problem. And I just really, really press into God when, you know, it can be a big thing, it can be a little thing. Me and Cammie feel like we've had the most frustrating 2 weeks we've had in a while. And it's not a big thing. You know, trying to fix cars and can't get the parts right and sending them back and just all this little frustrating stuff. We're trying to do some stuff with our camper and it's just not going the way we want it to. And it's just one challenge after another, after another, after another. And it begins to consume me. And I just, it's like just almost anxiety of like, I just need to get all this stuff straightened out and be done with it. And it's so easy in that moment to get overwhelmed. But it's also, I found myself just praying a little more directly. You know, there's always the, God, let us have a good day today. Let things go well. There's real general prayers, you know. And God's like, well, that's cool and everything. But what's really on your heart? He wants us to be real direct. I think God wants us to be, no, be specific. You know, what about today do you want me to go good? What about today do you need help with? You know, what about today are you possibly thankful about? What is it about that? And that's called having a relationship. You know, that's what he's wanting from us. And this, I mean, there's no big surprises about what I'm talking about this morning. There's no gotcha questions or anything like that. He wants that. He wants that constant relationship. And, but it's easy when we're in those difficult times to look to God. You know, that's when it's easy. You know, the old saying is, I'm not a soldier, but they say, you know, they say there's no atheists in foxholes. You know, when the bullets are flying and everything's getting bad and it's getting hairy and you think you've been an atheist your whole life, you think, oh, I don't need God, and then those bullets start flying across you and those bombs start exploding and you start hearing screaming, shouting, you're like, you know, maybe I've been wrong about this. Maybe there is a God and maybe I need to find him real quick. You know, and your focus just comes in. I'm focused on this issue. I'm focused. If you are a believer, a child of the King, it should be a given that we run to the Father when life hits us hard. That should be what we do. That should be our first instinct. I will say a note on that is sometimes it's not our first instinct. Sometimes it takes me a little bit to get there because some things, some challenges we face, we think we can fix. You know, we get into the saying, well, I can fix this. Oh, I can figure this out. It's through my power, my strength, my will. You know, God's equipped me to do this. And maybe he has. He has equipped you, actually. But just because he's equipped you doesn't mean that he doesn't want to be involved in the mix. You know what I mean? He'll still want you to converse with him about this thing that's going on. Yeah, he's equipped you to deal with it. He's given you authority over things. But you still do it with his permission, under his umbrella. You still operate with him. So when things hit, he should be our first instinct. So, I mean, real quick, I'm looking at Esther just a little bit different. This is not going to be long this morning, but it's just kind of what I feel like God spoke to me about when I'm reading Esther and kind of revisiting it and what he could be saying. What makes us lose that focus? You know, what makes us lose that focus? And that's what I want to talk about, and that's what I kind of want to bring out in Esther this morning. It seems like an odd scripture to bring something like that out in, but let's jump into Esther chapter 2. I'm just going to kind of touch on it. A lot of you, I hope everybody in here is fairly familiar with the story of Esther. You've got King Xerxes, you've got Esther, you've got Mordecai, kind of your three major players to me. Those are kind of your three guys that are the most important. We've always looked, and Sid has preached several times beautifully, which I totally agree with, about, and we'll get to it in a little bit, but when Esther comes before the king, she wants to find out what the king likes. You know, what is he like? You know, I think Sid said, you know, do you like a blue dress? Well, I'm going to wear a blue dress. You know, and he's done some wonderful, wonderful teaching on that, and I think all that, I'm not undercutting that teaching at all. It's what we're talking in the side room this morning. It's amazing that God's Word, you can open up this scripture and you could read it every day. You could read it every day this year. And if you really were listening to God and really asking God, God could teach you something new every day. Completely different than what he taught you the day before. The Word is a living, it's a living Word. This is not a dead document. This is not a historical. It is, but it's not just a historical documentation of something that happened. This is an active, part of our lives. It's an active thing that can actively teach you where you're at right now in whatever situation you're in, whatever we're facing. So don't just read the word as, oh yeah, that was a cool story, like it's a VeggieTales episode you're watching and it doesn't apply to you. You know, this absolutely 100% applies to you, and it can apply different ways. God's word can apply in different ways. So this morning, we've always kind of looked at the king as, you know, it's a great way to look at it, and you learn a lot this way, the king in the story as being God, and we want to, you know, kind of serve God and do what he likes and everything. But I want to flip it a little bit, and I want you to look at this story a little bit differently. Let's look at the king as the world. Esther's us. That's an easy one. Let's keep Esther as us. And let's look at Mordecai as the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's how I want you to kind of frame this as we read it. And it says, in verse 7 of chapter 2, Mordecai had a cousin who he had brought up. She had neither father nor mother. This young woman, who was also known as Esther, had a lovely figure, was beautiful, and Mordecai had taken her on as his daughter when her father and mother died. So, obviously, understanding Mordecai's relationship, it's his cousin. You know, their cousins, the father and the mother of Esther had died, and Mordecai comes in and says, you know what, I will adopt you, basically. You're not necessarily mine, but I take you as mine. I take you as mine. And there's a lot of places, and I don't want to get too deep into this because there's a lot of deep teaching in that, but there's a lot of places where God adopted us. You know, and if you look at it through the lens that the children of Israel are God's chosen people. And until Jesus came, they were kind of like, there's exceptions and you read it, but they're pretty much the ones that are getting the kingdom of God. They're pretty much the ones that get to have a relationship with God. And everybody on the outside was on the outside. We would have been on the outside. We would have been Gentiles. We would have been on the outside of that. And when that veil was ripped and all Jesus did what he did, he made it very clear at that moment. It's always God's, always was his heart. But he made it very clear in that moment that he's adopting all of us. We're just as significant. We're just as significant at this point. So look at Mordecai as in the Holy Spirit, as in God, as in who he is, said to Esther, hey, yeah, you're mine now. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to raise you. I'm going to protect you in this time. This is a volatile time in history, guy. We're killing Jews everywhere. We are at war all the time. Kings are swapping over all the time. This is some crazy stuff happens in the Bible, and when Old Testament stuff, when you had all these kings swapping around. So for you to be a young lady and not have any covering at all was super dangerous. So Mordecai comes in and kind of does that. In verse 10 in chapter 2, Esther had not revealed her nationality and family background because Mordecai had forbidden her to do so. Every day he walked back and forth near the courtyard of the harem to find out how Esther was and what was happening to her. We think that God, sometimes we think that God is only going to show up when we call on him. Like, okay, God's kind of like doing his own thing. And if I say something to him, if I beg him to come, he will come. And God is always, he is walking back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Just like Mordecai walked back and forth. He didn't just, when she got, she basically, they take her, took her in and said, hey, you're a beautiful young lady. You're going to come and be part of the king's court, and maybe you get to be queen. We'll see. You know, basically, it's a beauty contest, I'm assuming. It's kind of a weird culture. We don't understand it. That's a little different to me. I feel like he should have gotten some guns and gotten a shot her out of there because she got basically kidnapped, but that's not the culture. I think this was an honorable thing for this to happen to her. This was a cool thing. This was a good thing. I look at it like, what's going on here? But we don't understand that culture very well, so kind of put things in context when you're reading this stuff. But so he goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. He doesn't leave her. He doesn't forget about her. Okay, well, she's in the king's court now. I can go do my own thing. Because he had adopted her, because she was important to him, because he looked at her as his daughter now, he was there. He was there every day, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Um, says in verse 15, when the turn came for Esther, the young woman of Mordecai had adopted, and it says right here we find out the daughter of his uncle Abihail, something like that, and go to the king. He asked for nothing other than what the king's eunuch that was in charge of the harem suggested. And Esther won the favor of everyone she saw, who saw her. And Sid's talked about, that's the part that I thought that's always stuck out to me. It was so true. It's like, God, what do you want? What do you want for my life? You know, she's asking, hey, what do I need to do in this situation? I look at it just a little bit differently. He said that basically it's just, she went in there with the minimum amount of stuff. The minimum amount of stuff is what Esther went in there with. She didn't take, flaming darts to shoot. She didn't take any magic tricks to do. She didn't go in there and sing songs and all this stuff. She went in there with who she was. And that's all she went in there with. I'm sure he said, hey, take this, this, and this, or wear this. Maybe he did say wear a blue dress. I don't know. But the main thing is that she just was who she was. She was just who God created her to be. And kind of going along with what Brett was talking about, you are enough. You are enough. You don't have to do anything crazy and different than who you are. Now, God's going to call you to do difficult stuff. We'll see. Esther gets called to do some very difficult stuff. But she did it as Esther. She did difficult things as who she was, as who God created her to be. And a lot of times we'll go around and say, okay, well, how would Sid deliver this? Let's just use this as an example since we're talking about it. I can't deliver stuff like Sid. I'm not Sid. I'm me. You know? So let's deliver it like me. I can't sing like, Jeremy Riddle. Nobody can. I'm not going to sing like them. I'm not going to sing like anybody like that. I can't play the guitar like that. But you know what? I play how I play and I sing how I sing. And that's all God wants from us, guys. That is all He wants from us. Just give Him what you have. Just give Him what you have. If you have something that you're holding back from God, that's when He has problems. He doesn't want you to make up stuff. He didn't want you to be anything you're not. He didn't want Esther to go in there and be somebody that she wasn't. He wanted her to go in there, minimum amount of stuff, you be who you are, and that's enough. So in verse 17, I'm just skimming the story, guys. The king was attracted to Esther more than any other woman, and she won his favor and approval more than any other virgin. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. And that obviously was the queen that made him very mad. They didn't have a good relationship. It was not a good thing. So she's made queen. She's gone through this difficult time. She's gone through this stuff. Mordecai's been there for her. All this stuff's happened. She walked through some challenges. It's got to be challenging. You get thrown in to this harem with all these people. Don't know what's going to happen. Am I going to be queen? Am I going to be turned into a slave? Are good things going to happen to me or bad things going to happen to me? She's walked through this time, but guess what? God saw it fit to make her queen. She's queen of the nation now. She has a crown on her head. And she's the queen. And we're talking about the premise. Remember, the premise of this is how do we listen to God and continue to listen to God even when things are great? And I think that is a challenge for a lot of us. Because at that point we think, God's done everything He's going to do for me. I'm good to go now. I'm the queen. Everything's good. So I'm going to stop praying as much. I don't need to pray anymore. I'm out of that pit. That lion's dead. I'm out of that. It's not that big a deal anymore. I don't really have to listen, to God closely because, He's got me at this great place. And we so easily, I do, this is James, and maybe this speaks to somebody, I so easily, when I achieve that and I get through that thing that's been bothering me or worried about, I'll real quickly say, all right, God, thank you so much. But then it's so easy, Brett, just to kind of glide. Oh, man, that was tough. That was good. That was cool. And I stop pressing into God. That's where I mess up. I stopped pressing into God like that urgency. I had urgency. I'm pressing into God, urgency. But then when I'm, things look good and it's pushed past me and it's no longer at my doorstep anymore, I can say, all right, well, okay. Well, then talking to God somehow becomes a burden. Somehow it's difficult on my way work to focus on Him the whole time because I'm, carefree and everything's good. It's kind of nuts. But I think it's human nature. I think it's something where it's something I deal with. And, where I don't press in until it's time to, when it's go time, we're going to press in and we're going to go. I know where to go. I mean, Red, I know where to go. There's no other place to go. There's no other place to go. There's no other, I know enough. I have the Spirit of God in me. I know that the things that this world has to offer are not going to do it. Money is not going to fix your life. Fame is not going to fix your life. Heck, a good reputation, whatever you want to say, is not going to fix your life. The only thing that fixes your life, the only thing that can get you through stuff is God and His love and His grace and His peace. So I know where to go. I really do. I spend a lot of time chasing other stuff. It blows my mind to read the Old Testament and these kings that God puts into power, and all of a sudden they're worshiping the Baals. Blows my mind. I'm like, how? What have you ever seen in your life an idol do? An idol that you can put in your pocket and walk around with it. An idol that you have to carve. An idol that you have to keep clean. I mean, it blows my mind. So that part I don't struggle with. The part I struggle with is I'm good. I really need to talk to God right now. Why don't I want to talk to God? So I think that's kind of what God was showing me in Esther just a little bit here. In verse 21, in verse 20 it says, Esther had kept her family secret background and nationality, just as Mordecai had told her, for she continued to follow Mordecai's instructions, as she had done when he was bringing her up. Verse 21, during that time, Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, and two of the king's officials were guarding the doorway, became angry, and conspired against the king. But Mordecai found out about the plot, told Queen Esther, who in turn reported it to the king, giving credit to Mordecai. So, she's already the queen, and this is where I really want to focus in on a little bit, is she's the queen. This was just her, however you want to say it, adopted dad, somebody that was taking care of her that helped her greatly. But you know what? She was still listening to him. The world had put her in a special place. The world had deemed her special. The world had deemed her beautiful. The world had deemed her greater than everybody else. And the world sometimes is going to give you that feeling like, hey, yeah, you're cool. You're accepted. Yeah, you're all right. I like you. You're all right, And what we do is we lose our focus and we're more concerned about what the world says about us than what the Holy Spirit is continuing to tell us to do and what He's continually putting in our heart. We get so excited about it being accepted by the world. And this can look different, guys. This is not just, I'm going out and whatever. There's a lot of ways Christians can fall into this. A lot of ways I could fall into this being accepted by the world and people thinking I'm whatever, cool, or whatever it is that you're chasing in life. Smart, intelligent, rich, whatever it is that you're chasing. Whatever the world says, you're okay. She did not get caught up in that. She did not get caught up in that. She continued to listen to what Mordecai had to say. She continued to talk to him. She continued to have a relationship with him. And it's part of it because he's outside every day. Somebody was coming in and said, hey, your cousin's out here asking about you. Are you doing good? He wants to know if you're okay. Well, yeah, tell Mordecai I'm good. They kept that relationship up. Even though the world, she had what the... According to the world, she was there. According to the world, she was the queen. She didn't need him anymore. She didn't need him anymore. And the world's going to tell you, well, you don't need God. God's not going to do anything for you. That is what the world tells our kids right now. I promise you, Mary's going to hear that. University of Georgia, she's going to hear that. She's going to hear it from professors. She's going to hear it from all sorts of folks that tell her that God's not real. That was just your mom and daddy. That's just old Southern religion stuff. But what she got inside of her is stronger than that. What she got inside of her is saying, no, that's not true. That's not true. There's somebody bigger and greater and more important than you out there. She knew that this king was only just a figurehead, and she knew that this king was just there because God was allowing this king to be there. This government that's in power now, and government's been in power since 1776 in this country, is only there because God has allowed it. Maybe not necessarily what he wanted, but he's allowed it because we're humans and it's a wild world that we live in. So as quick as it rises up, it can be taken down. As quick as this king, I promise you, all these kings are one sword blow away from being killed and somebody else coming in. We've got to keep our eyes focused on him and not our circumstances. And that even means when our circumstances are just amazing. And if you never think you have amazing circumstances, I don't think you're seeing the world right. Okay? If somebody here wants to stand up and we all kind of get in this like, man, just nothing ever goes right for me. I mean, you go through seasons. Like I told you, me and Cammie had like a couple of weeks. It's just aggravating. But big picture, we can step back and say, life's pretty awesome. But if you live in this place where it's never good, then I promise you, you're not seeing your life. You're not seeing things through God's eyes because everybody has times and seasons of blessing, times of seasons where it's like really good. So we need to recognize those times for one. You know, have the ears to hear that, have the eyes to see those times that are just absolutely amazing that God's just, you know, when we're hiking, we'll do this. And I think Isaac was pointing out last time we hiked, but we all think this when you're hiking. Especially if you're like on a long hike somewhere and you all have been on hikes and I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But it's so easy just to look at the ground in front of you. Especially if the ground in front of you is real rocky and got roots or it's got rocks or sand or mud. And the thing to do to protect yourself is just to keep your eyes focused on what's in front of you and to keep your eyes focused on that next step to make sure that I'm not going to fall, make sure that, you know, everything's going to be okay. And like, man, this is tough and you're sweating. You know, if you got a backpack on, you're hot. You know, if you're in Glacier, you're being chased by bears. You know how it is. And what we forget to do is stop and just look up. Just look up. That's what Isaac said last time we were hiking Glacier. I think, I don't know what was going on. I don't know if we were getting hailed on or what. But he's like, hey guys, at least look around. We're in a beautiful place. I'm in a beautiful, beautiful place. And I can get so focused on what's in front of me, good or bad, that I forget the big picture part. I forget the part that, you know, God's in this place. You know, God's here. God loves us. He has so much for us. And it's just important to keep your focus on what it needs to be on. Mordecai does not bow to Haman. Let's jump to chapter 3. It's just the next chapter. So the bad guy, the real bad guy I didn't mention earlier is Haman. You know, he's the bad guy. That's just a bad guy name. It just is. Like when you read Haman, you have never read this before. You read the word Haman, you know this is a bad guy. I don't know anything about it, but the word Haman. If you name your kid Haman, don't name your kid Haman. Side note, and I asked Sid this the other day. This is totally off. This is totally off. Okay? But I asked Sid before he left because it's been bothering me. Me and Cammie have talked about it. It's weird if you read the Old Testament. Again, this is totally off topic. Don't try to dig anything spiritual out of this. Please don't. But if I noticed, when you're reading the Old Testament, as you can see, I can't pronounce anybody's name. There's very few people in the Old Testament, you know, other than the ones you hear growing up all the time, that you can pronounce their name. You read lineages, like you get in 1 and 2 Chronicles, it's going to be name after 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 name, and I can't read any of them. That's one of the reasons I like to listen to it, because the guy's fascinating that he can pronounce this stuff. It blows my mind. I can't read anybody's name except for a few guys here and there. And usually it's because they changed their name to something that I understood. But then we get to the New Testament. I got guys named like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, Paul. How did that happen? How did that happen? Why can I? Why? It's only 400 years later. Did they start? I don't understand that. And I was asking Sid. He's like, dude, I don't know. I'm like, well, good. You don't know either. Maybe it has something to do with Roman influence and you know, things like that, the culture they're in. I don't know. But it's very, I mean, I feel like an absolute idiot reading the Old Testament. You hop the New Testament, I'm good to go. I know these guys' name. There's people named James there. I mean, I get it. But anyway, that's a total side note. Now I got to figure out where was it before I said that. Oh, yeah, Mordecai. We're talking about Mordecai and Haman. So you know the story. Haman's coming in. Haman's doing his thing. He hates the Jews. He does not know Esther's a Jew. He knows Mordecai's a Jew. And Mordecai won't bow to him, you know, the whole story. And I think everybody here is pretty familiar with it. If not, read it. It's a cool story. But, you know, he absolutely hates Mordecai. So he says, hey, this is my chance. There's a lot of history there between Haman, Haman's people, kings that had been killed before. If you do a lot of history, he had some hate going into it. It wasn't just that Mordecai wouldn't bow to him. There's a lot of stuff going on, very complex. But he said, all right, this is my chance. We're going to get rid of all the Jews that are in this country. Every Jew in this nation, we're going to kill them. I've got the ear of the king right now. I'm going to do this deal. We're going to put this decree out that they're all going to die on this certain day, basically. They're all going to die on whatever day it was that they were going to die. And just because Mordecai would not bow to him. And remember, if we're looking at Mordecai as God, as the Holy Spirit, the world's going to hate God, and the world's going to hate everything about God because God doesn't bow to the world. You can't fold and mold and turn God into what you want. You know, and you hear this, and the church does this. The church that's not really following the Holy Spirit, the church that's now saying all the things that we know are not of God, oh, that's okay, this culture allows it, so we'll allow it now. That's not God. God doesn't bow his knee to the cultural circumstances, the woke culture, whatever you want to call it. That's not who God is, and they hate him for it. They hate him for it. And that's the same story here. I mean, the world, if you look at Haman as the world, he absolutely hated Mordecai. Mordecai would not bend a knee to him. Would not bend a knee. So this world will and does hate God. They don't like good. They don't like love. And it will try to destroy him and ultimately try to destroy you. The world hates love. And they disguise things with love. Understand what real love is. Understand what true love is. Understand what God's love is. Because the word love is used in our society a lot. We talked about love some last week. Understand what God's love truly is. So now this death sentence comes across on her people. And so basically she has a choice. Let's see, where does she say this? In chapter 4, yeah, let's read this. Chapter 4, verse 10, said, she instructed him to say to Mordecai. This guy had come and told Queen Esther what's going on, one of the servants, and said, hey, this is what's going on. They put this decree out. They're going to kill all the Jews, basically. And then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, all the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that they be put to death unless the king extends the gold scepter to them and spares their lives. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king. So what's she saying? She's saying, listen, I know you want me to do something about this. I know I'm the queen. But I could get killed. I could die. I could die if I approach the king and say, hey, this plot's going on to kill my people, and I'm a Jew, and you need to stop it because I'm the queen. And if it, in this time and how this worked, if the king didn't extend his scepter and say, hey, you're accepted, I'll let you come, I'll let you talk to me, then they would just kill her. They didn't care if it was a queen or not. It didn't matter who it was. They would die if the king did not invite you and you just showed up, like they walked through the door and he didn't point his scepter at you, you're dead. So she sends this back to Mordecai like, listen, hey, sounds like a bad deal, but you understand I could die. She didn't say no, okay? She didn't say I won't do it. She just said, you understand I could die, right? Like, you're asking me to do a hard thing. And in verse 12, when Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. And then Esther answers Mordecai, go gather all of the Jews that are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for these 3 days, days and nights, and I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. So she has this opportunity presented to her to listen and obey this voice that has been with her the whole time, this voice that took her from being an orphan to being the queen. Same voice. She listened to the same voice the whole time. Mordecai was there. From being an orphan to being the queen of the whole land, she listened to one voice. That's how she got there. She listened to this one voice. Had she done other things, if Mordecai, when she was a young lady, said, hey, listen, I'll take you into my house. She's like, no, I'm not living with my cousin. I don't want to live with you. You live in a weird place. I don't want to go there. No, I'll listen to you. Hey, when you go to this is how you need to act when you go to this little beauty pageant you got to be involved in. We'll put it simply. Do this, do this, do this. I will listen to you. And she has this moment in time where she can continue to listen to that voice that she knows is tried and true, that knows that loves her and cares about her, or she can walk away from it because she thinks that I don't need that voice anymore. The chances of the king like actually killing her, she in her mind could have been like, well, he's not actually going to kill me. And Mordecai's like, listen, I just want you to understand that God's going to do what God's going to do anyway. And we need to understand that too, guys. God's going to get it done, okay? He's a get it done kind of guy, and he's going to get it done. He wants you to be involved in it, though. He wants you to be involved in it. He has a place, and you are the one that he wants to do it, so he's designed it around you doing it. He set this whole thing up for Esther to be in the place that she was in at the time that she was in because he wanted her to do this. But if she had said, hey, you know, Mordecai, look, cuz, man, I know we were tight back in the day, but man, I'm the queen now. I'm not getting involved in this. Sounds a little hairy. Sounds like maybe you should get on a horse and get out of town before this happens, but I'm not getting involved in this. You know, I've got to go do some stuff, some real important worldly stuff. I'm the queen now. I don't need you. I'm the queen now. They're not going to hurt me. I'm the queen now, whatever. And so many Christians are walking around this world because they've got a nice new car, they got a nice new house, they're not sick, nobody in their family's necessarily sick, you know, things are looking pretty good. I don't really need God right now. I don't really need God right now. I'm okay. Now listen, this is not necessarily where you're at right now, okay? But no, this is a place that you will come in and out of in life. You will come in and out of this place in life. Where things seem, okay, that's manageable. I can do this. You know, I like to talk about hiking. There's times on a trail where you're like, okay, I can do this. It's nice and flat. You know, I can do this. You know, Cammie's like a marathon runner on flat ground. I can't keep up with her. She hits flat ground. She's like, boom, we're fast. Now, we slow down a little bit on heels, right? Just a little bit. But there's times where everything's going smooth, you know. But then that uphill and that downhill comes, and that difficulty comes. I better know at that time who to listen to. To me at this point, Esther has it real good. She is a queen, has everything she could want, power, beauty, safety. Things are good for her, but she continues to listen. She does not forget Mordecai. She continues to listen to him, even when she doesn't think she needs him anymore. And at this point, she's not listening to Mordecai to get something great from him. See, a lot of times it's easy to listen to God because, like, God, I need you to bless me, and I want something out of this relationship. I want something. I want you to fix this. I want you to provide this. I want you to, whatever it is that, you know, a lot of times, at this point, I feel like Esther was, this was out of relationship. She's like, no, you're in trouble. My people in trouble. It's not going to make me richer. It's not going to make me more famous, which it actually does, but that's not what she's thinking. It's nothing that she can get out of it. And I think when, as we mature in Christ, that's where we've got to get to. It's not for what I can get out of it. Because that is, anybody can do that. Anybody can say, all right, if I do A, B, and C, and I love God, then I will get something. And that's how we sometimes in the church say, well, God does love you because you got something. That's a lie. Sometimes he'll give you stuff. I'm not saying he does it. God absolutely blesses you. Absolutely. 100%. Every blessing that I have in my life, and I have a lot of them, are from God. But that's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. And if we walk through this life and we're like, I want this relationship with God so I can get A, B, and C out of it. So that I can get whatever it is that you're chasing in life. God, help me get whatever it is I'm chasing. That thing that you're chasing can even be peace. Will we serve God even when there's not peace? Will I still love him and when things just aren't just perfect? Will I still love him when there's sickness, when there's death, when there's pain? She wasn't going to get anything out of this. I mean, maybe she saves her life, but maybe not. I mean, she could have, nobody knew. Nobody knew who she was. So if they had killed all the Jews, she could have survived it. She could have still been the queen. Mordecai, I mean, it was sad. I mean, he was a good guy and everything. But I mean, I'm going to move on. I'm the queen now. I got attendants, people asking me everything. You know, anything I need, I don't even have to say it. They bring it to me. And God will bless us. And sometimes that blessing can be almost a challenge, like, will you still love me through the blessing? Will you forget about me when everything's great? Will you forget about me when everything's smooth? Will you forget about me when you're not having to beg me for your life every day? So it just comes down to this. He adopted us out of our sin, no matter how you look at it. And I'm not super great at putting things real deep and theological, but at the end of the day, I was a sinner. I'm saved by grace. I was not his because I was separated from him through sin. I wasn't his. He loved me, but I wasn't his. The only way I become his is by accepting this thing that he did for me. It's basic salvation. I accept this thing, and I am then adopted and brought into a place that I don't deserve. Esther did not deserve to be here. She did nothing, really, that we know of to be there other than being pretty. She's a pretty lady, apparently. Oh, I'm a pretty dude. I mean, you know. Does that change anything? Did nothing. She did nothing. But she was adopted into this place, and she was put in this place, and that is us. That is absolutely a picture of me. I don't deserve to be here. But if I'm here just to get something out of it, that's all I'm going to get out of it. I'm not saying you're going to lose your salvation. God loves you. And if you're a little off on this, then God's going to love you. And you're going to have some blessings in life, and it's going to be okay. And you're going to spend eternity with him. I absolutely believe that. But are you going to save a nation? Are you going to fulfill the purpose that God has for you? Are you going to fulfill that thing in which God wants you to fulfill by just looking for blessings? That's because I'm a blessing hunter, man. I mean, I'm after them. I want some blessings. I've told y'all, and nothing's changed. Maybe it needs to. I want to wake up. I want to have a great day. I want things to go smooth. I want everybody to like everybody. Hey, I want to get $1 million. Whatever, you know, if it comes in the mail, that's great. I'll take it. I'm going to go cash it, you know. I want everything to be smooth. I want everybody to be happy. I want the world to be wonderful. I don't want to turn the TV on and see hate. I don't want to turn the TV on and see violence. I want everything to be great. I want the Braves to win every night. Okay? I want to hit 10 home runs every night. I want everything to be wonderful. So do we chase that pressing? Do we chase that? Are we open to that? So my thing is, how do we stay in Him? There's a lot of ways to stay in Him, and I think a lot of things will apply to this, so this is not an exclusive statement. But I feel like what God's speaking to me right now, and it's something that's kind of, I guess, been in my heart for a little while, is intentional thanksgiving. Intentional thanksgiving. Set it in your heart every day, every hour, however you need to do it, however you feel pressed to do it. But I think we need to be intentionally thankful. Intentionally thinking about, okay, God, I want to thank you for something right now. It shouldn't be hard to do. But not just when things happen, like, oh, you know, somebody, you know, you fall down, somebody helps you up, and you say, oh, thank you. Well, yeah, when God does things like that, it's real easy to real quick say thank you. Intentional thanksgiving, I think, is a little bit different. It's like, okay, I'm going to be intentional about finding something to be thankful about today. And that will drive us into talking to Him. And when you're driven to talking to Him, you're talking to Him in those good times, you're talking to Him in those bad times. You don't need to be a perfect stranger when you fall into the pit with a lion to God. And that is so easy to do with as a Christian when things are going smooth. We fall in that pit and we're like, oh, God, help me. He's like, well, I'm going to help you, but before I pull you out of here, you know, it's been 3 months since we talked. How you been? I mean, I know, but let's talk about it. Because He's a lot more concerned about you than He is you being in a pit with a lion. I hate it. And we think that God's most alarming thing is, oh, they put a decree out to kill your people. Oh, I fell in a pit with a lion. Oh, whatever this bad thing is. God, I need help. And we get anxious. God, I need help. God, I need help. God, I need help. God's like, wait a minute. Well, for one, I'm not worried about anything that you're going through. It's going to be all right. But let's talk about me and you. How are you? Talk to me. Talk to me. Not just when you need me. Don't talk to me when you just need me. Do you have people like that in your life? Most of us have a person. If the phone rings, we see that name. It's like, oh, gosh, what do they need? They need something from me. I know it because the only time they call me, they need something. The proverbial dirty diaper has hit the fan, if you will, Tyler. And they need some help. That's the only reason they're calling me. So when your phone number comes up on God's caller ID, don't be that guy. Don't be that guy. And it is so easy to do. It is so easy to do. Because when things are clicking and everything's wonderful. Oh, it's James again. We just talked 5 minutes ago. Hey, man, everything's still going good? Oh, it's not. You're in a pit with a lion on a snowy day. Oh, well, okay, no problem. That changed real quick, but I'm there. Yeah, we just talked 5 minutes ago. Yeah, you know my heart. I know your heart. It's a lot easier to communicate with somebody when you know them, when you're talking to them every day. And we were dealing with a guy on some business stuff, and came and said, I don't know how to take what he just said. You know, we were trying to figure some stuff out. And I said, I don't either. I don't know the guy. I don't know if he's just got, you know, it's not good in the morning. I don't know if he's just, you know, kind of grumpy person. I don't know if this means anything because I don't know him. I don't know him. All of us married folks, Cami can. I can pretty much know what's going on because I know her. She knows what's going on with me. She knows me because we have a relationship. Good times and bad times. So, guys, this is basic Christianity I want to talk about this morning. But I want to look at that story, and I want us to be cognizant of when things are wonderful, things are going smooth, and it's like, hey, we're on good paved road right now. Everything's smooth. He loves you just as much then as he does when things are not going smooth. And he wants a relationship with you then too. And you know what that's going to do? That's going to make it when that bump does come. And let me tell you something, bumps are going to come. I think we're all mature enough to understand that. It's coming. Are you prepared? Do you know him? Are you to the point where, you know what? Like Esther said, if I perish, I perish. The main thing is I have a relationship with my God. It's not this blessing that I'm chasing. It's this relationship with my Creator. The relationship with my God is above all else. It's above all of this stuff. And the other thing, and I'm going to close in this. Y'all can stand up. We're going to close. We're wrapping this up. There's also this shame thing that'll try to play with you, and it plays with me sometimes, is you do fall in the pit. The line's in there. Things are bad. You haven't been talking to God. And then shame will come in and the world will come in and say, you can't approach God right now because you haven't been where you're supposed to be. You can't approach him now. No, you have no right. You have no right at this point to talk to God. You have no right at this point to ask him because you haven't been in relationship with him like you're supposed to be. And then you'll sit there and let that line start gnawing on you. And you'll go through stuff you shouldn't have to go through because you're like, I'm not going to ask God. Man, I'm so ashamed of myself for not staying in a relationship where I'm supposed to be. I'm so ashamed of where I'm at. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve for him to deliver me from this because I haven't. All of a sudden, and with all those things, yeah, I'm calling him. I've said, God, here I am again. You know why I'm here. The only time I've been talking to you here lately is when something's going wrong. I've said those things in prayer. And God's like, I don't care. I still love you the same. It's going to take you a second to start hearing my voice again the way you should. But I'm still speaking the way I was. You ever talk to somebody with like a thick, heavy accent? I'm terrible at talking to people with thick, heavy accents. They make me nervous. If I can't understand you, I get real nervous real quick. That's one of the reasons I don't travel internationally. If I can't understand you, I get a little nervous. But if I talk to you long enough, Tyler, if you ever talk to somebody from Louisiana, I'm talking like straight up Cajun person. I talk to them on the phone occasionally. And when they first start talking, you think they're speaking French or something else. You have no idea what, or me anyway, because my ears are as slow as they come. I'm like, what does this person say? Are they speaking English? My first thing is, assess, is this English or not? Okay, I heard a few words that I think were English, so I think this, and I promise you people think the same thing about me on the phone, okay? Like, what? Who am I talking to? But then if I listen to them for just a little bit, and I get my ears the way they're supposed to be, and I begin to catch the nuances of how they're saying things, and I put it into context with what they're talking about, eventually I can figure out what they're saying. And usually if I'm talking to a Cajun person, it's because they want a handlebar for their motorcycle. They're going to ride through the bayou or something. But I can figure it out. But it takes me a second, Brett, because I haven't been talking to that person all day. I don't call that person every day and talk to him. I don't hear that accent all the time. So I have to slow down and figure it out. Are they still saying the same thing? They haven't changed anything they're saying. But I get my place in the, I get myself in the right place. I turn my ears on and say, okay, I'm going to focus on what this person. And it takes me a second, but you know what? They're still going to talk to me. And we're still going to figure it out. And when we walk away from God and we stop listening to how he talks to us, because God has an accent. It's a heavenly accent. It's a perfect accent. It's not a negative thing at all. But God has an accent. And if we're not used to hearing it, yeah, we're saved. Yeah, Cajuns, they speak English. I guess you call it English. But I'm not used to hearing it. I'm still saved. God loves me. So we got relationship. I got a relationship. Our relationship, well, do we both speak English? Yeah, we both speak English. But you're speaking something that I haven't been listening to. So when Satan, the enemy, yourself, your flesh, whatever it is, pops up and says, well, you have no right to talk to God about this right now because, you know, you hadn't been in a relationship like you're supposed to. Say, no, I'm going to sit right here. We're going to figure this accent out real quick, and I'm going to hear what he has to say. So it may take you a second to remember how God speaks to you, but turn to him. That's basically, I mean, what do we do in good times? How do we stay? How do we stay in that place? Because a lot of times when you come out of a trial, right when you come out, do you worship different when you're in a trial? I do. I worship different. Do you worship different when you're in Thanksgiving? I do. But when everything's just kind of smooth, everything's been a pretty good week, you know, everything, you know. Where's my intensity? You know, where's my intensity? So my challenge to myself, and since I was speaking this morning, it's to you guys as well. When things are smooth, keep pressing in. Keep pressing in. Keep listening to that accent that he's got. That way, when you need to talk to him real fast and really quickly tell him something, you're already in tune with him. There's no delay, Keith. There's no figuring out. What did he just say? What did God just say? What did he say to me? Let's see. He said, well, man, I know I'm loved, but, you know, what? And I'm putting all these pieces together. Okay, but we're talking about this situation. Okay, well, you know, it takes me a second to put all the stuff together. No. Keep speaking that heavenly accent. Keep learning that every day. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning, God. I'm thankful for you, God. I want to be intentionally thankful for so many things, God. Lord, when you bless us, God, Heavenly Father, I just pray that those blessings don't just come and go in our mind, God. That, God, we desire relationship over anything. I pray that I desire your relationship with you, hearing your voice, God, over any blessings, over any escaping of any trial, over anything at all. That you and relationship with you are my highest calling in life, and that I never back off from that, God. Lord, I pray in good times and bad, God. We prayed in the side room this morning, Heavenly Father, I want to say it again, God. Just no matter where we're at in this journey, no matter where we're on the mountaintop or we're in the valley, Heavenly Father, you are there. God, whether we're on that trail going up or we're on that trail going down, I don't care where we're at, Heavenly Father, I pray that we stop continuously and look to you and say, God, thank you for where I'm at on this journey. God, thank you for where you've taken me. Thank you for where I'm going. But God, I want to thank you for where I'm at right now. And if I'm in the valley and it's difficult, if I'm on the mountaintop and things are wonderful, I want to thank you for where I'm at right now. Because no matter where I'm at, God, you are there. You are God in the valley. You are God in the mountains. You're God in the trees. You're God in the rocks. You're God in the desert. You're God in the ocean. Everywhere I go, I cannot escape you being God and you loving me, Heavenly Father. So I pray that we stop and we're thankful and we talk to you, God. And I hear that heavenly accent and I know what you're saying, God, because I know you. Because I'm talking to you every day. Because I'm thankful every day. And then when big things come, I'm ready. When little things come, I'm still ready. When happy times come, I'm ready. When sad times come, I'm ready, Heavenly Father. I pray that you make us ready. I pray that we hear you in a new way this week, God. I pray that we're thankful in a new way this week, God. We love you. We are so blessed to be in your presence. And we just give you all glory, honor, and praise this morning, God. I just pray that you're with us this week, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.